It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
It was the night before Christmas, all through the house. It's actually just Wednesday, so everybody chill out. I'm planning that all week. I suppose by the time you guys are listening, it is the night before Christmas or later. Yes. So don't chill out, I guess. I mean, I don't know. But right now for us, it's Wednesday afternoon. Also, if I look wet, I just got out of the shower. I'm not, this is not sweat. I just got out of the shower. Because I was very sweaty because I was exercising. I was doing fitness boxing.
Mm.
Possibly one of the hardest workouts I've ever done.
Wow.
I upped the duration from 28 minutes to 38 minutes because it lies. It counts the whole time, which is like it's in between and the stretching and stuff like that. And so I'm like, if I want an actual cardio workout, I need to extend it. So I've been doing 28, I switched to 38. Holy crap. I said fuck you to my trainer, who I'll remind you is not a real person, like 5 times. My record prior to this was 1 time.
Wow.
Yeah. But I also kicked its ass.
Good.
3 stars every stage, fitness age of 32. I'm gonna hurt so bad tomorrow. Like I already hurt. But tomorrow it's going to be really bad, but I'm really enjoying fitness boxing. I'm starting to not enjoy Ring Fit, and I'm still trying to figure out why. And my current working theory is it's the same reasons why I liked Ring Fit in the beginning, which doesn't make any sense. It's because it gamifies everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what got me to enjoy it in the first place. But the thing is, Ring Fit is great if you're a person who likes RPGs and hates exercise. I, as lazy as I am, kind of actually enjoy working out, or at least I like enjoying having worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And ring fitness boxing, it's workout. Like it feels like a workout that, you know, we're doing a, there's a daily routine. I do that. I mean, it changes every day, but you get the idea. Ring Fit is feeling more and more not like a workout game, like an RPG with physical elements. And as an RPG, it's not great. Like as just a game.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really good if you're trying to exercise with it. Like, I understand it. But, like, as compared to, like, Assassin's Creed Odyssey that I'm also playing right now, it's not that good. So it's turning into just, like, a kind of crap RPG that requires a lot of physical effort from me. And that's not as fun. Also, I realized today I have way more control over how much I do. I mean, I technically have control over both of them, but with Ring Fit, there's no set thing each day.
Mm.
So I sort of get to decide, and that's, then I'm always like, I feel like maybe I didn't do enough or things like that. Whereas the daily workout is the daily workout, and you know, I've done it. So we'll see. At this point, I'm still trying to sort of do a little bit of both. And of course, fitness boxing doesn't do much for my legs.
Mm.
There's a rhythm in the stance and stuff, and you sort of bounce, but like it's not doing any muscle work. Or it's, holy crap, doing a lot to my upper body. But we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I'm just happy that I'm still exercising, even though it's winter in COVID land. And by COVID land, I mean Earth. except for New Zealand. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. Only podcast in the world that comes with, like, not comes with, but we have a non-explicit version. But all it is William's part. And it also means that the episode length varies from about 20 minutes to about 3 minutes, depending on how much I let him talk in that episode. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 510. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas!
You know, this is our 10th holiday season, and the podcast has only been on Christmas once, and this is the second time it's been on Christmas Eve.
Nope, not interested.
But of course, it's always on Thanksgiving.
It's always on Thanksgiving. Thanks to FDR or whoever that lady was, or I lose track. Thanksgiving history is strange. That's a lot of holidays tradition. Every holiday's history is like fucked up. Except for the more recent ones. Like Kwanzaa is a fairly straightforward origin story. I think Arbor Day is pretty straightforward. But everything else is like, somebody did it so that they could sell cigarettes to children. And then years later, it became all about the church. And then after that, well, we all just decided to take the day off. That's the story of most. Except sometimes the church and cigarettes to children flipped. But otherwise.
So let me ask you a question, because this is an issue that I have sometimes with the history of things, which fascinates me, as you know.
Yes. You're way more interested in history than in the present.
But for as interested as I am in the history of a thing, I never get what I would call essentialist about it, right? Like, you know, I don't think that because, you know, let's say there's a thing that we recognize every year, a holiday or whatever you want to call it, and the person who made it came up with it because they were like into eugenics or something and all this stuff. I don't thereafter think that, oh, this is a terrible idea because a eugenicist came up with this. You know, I mean, there's the history can be very long and complicated, and really, you know, nothing about the origin of a thing, or even not just the origin, but something that happens from the origin to now, any of that stuff doesn't infuse that thing with a particular essence that makes it, you know, good or bad. It just is what it is. I mean, I might decide on my own, by my own opinion, whether or not it's good or bad, or whether or not I'm going to recognize it or not. But oftentimes when I hear other people talk about the history of a thing, they seem to take certain elements of its history. Usually it's origin, but not always. Sometimes it's something that happens in between, you know, and they tend to make it like this event or this person sort of gave this thing an essence of goodness or badness or nobleness or ignobleness or whatever. And now anyone who likes this thing is either, you know, now we can judge their character based on that. They're either better than everybody else, or they're worse than everybody else, or they're stupid because they don't know where this came from. And I'm always thinking, like, this is not how the world works. There's no essence that gets injected into a thing just because of how it started, or because of this group had this idea about it, or whatever. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you tend to...
Well, there are two things that are very deeply ingrained into the essence of how we all operate, and that's tribalism and duality. So people love coming up with an excuse how it's us and them. In a lot of cases, Thanksgiving is a tremendous example. People who get upset about Thanksgiving being, you know, well, yeah, the pilgrims came in and then fucked everything over for the natives, and this is a terrible thing, probably wouldn't feel that way if there wasn't a sizable number of people who still celebrate Thanksgiving as, oh, when the pilgrims came and the white people and the natives got along so nice and hugged. If we all got rid of all of that imagery and just made it a thing about thankfulness and family, I think there would be fewer, although not none, people bitching about that. I think it mostly, one begets the other. People also really like to separate things. So if I'm like, Columbus Day sucks because Christopher Columbus is probably one of the worst people who ever lived, then I feel good about myself for knowing that, and I want to demonize the people that are still into it, even though it's sort of turned into an Italian heritage thing. And Italy has a right to its heritage as much as anybody. But I want to feel better because I know the truth. And again, it's complicated because these people that have made it about Italian heritage are still explicitly talking about how awesome Christopher Columbus was. And he was not. I think there's a little bit of sort of human nature involved there. I'm inclined to agree with you. What's fun to me is people pick an arbitrary point in the history of a tradition. And they're like, this is great because of this thing that happened 200 years ago. And you're like, yeah, like 400 years ago, the exact opposite happened. Christmas is a hilarious one because everybody thinks they know what Christmas is about. And Christmas has had so many different meanings. So many. And everybody's like, Christmas is really about this. I'm like, well, I mean, it was for a little while, and then it was about this, and before then it was about this. And
you make a very good point. It is interesting that I think you're right about that. I think people do generally, when they're looking at a thing, like you say, they pick a thing that they like or dislike about it, and then they insist that that's the thing. Yeah. And so then what happens is you've got people who pick this thing and they're versus the people who pick this thing. And they're both kind of doing the same thing by sort of, as you point out, sort of arbitrarily picking a thing and making it like it's the thing. And so they're equal in terms of doing that, but of course they're different in terms of which thing they're picking. Yes. And it seems uniquely designed for them to be able to fight with each other about it for whatever reason.
And two other things people love to do. One is hold their traditions as sacrosanct and rebel against the traditions of their elders. And then there you go again, because in some, like you say, people are like, no, it's a holiday's about this. And others are like, no, it's about this. And they're fine. But they also, you got ones where the holiday's about this. And these people are like, the holiday sucks because it's about this. And then they fight, but it's not, they're not finding new meaning in the holiday. They're saying, no, let's get rid of the holiday. Let's not celebrate the holiday. I've always had a little bit of this, but it's becoming stronger and stronger. And this year I'm really feeling it. I fucking don't like any holidays. And I've never been a tradition person, sort of full stop. But I also feel like I don't like a lot of holidays are about good things. And that means that the holiday is about social recognition of you doing good things. So, like, I love the idea of coming together as a family and being thankful and together and eating good food and stuff like that. I hate the idea that we're doing it because we have to do it on this day. We know how I feel about fucking gifts. I love gift giving. I hate required gift giving. Both in terms of giving and receiving. I don't particularly enjoy getting gifts that I'm like, they had to get me something because it's Christmas or because it's my birthday or whatever. I hate all of that shit. And it adds a level of stress to every family get together. Even if it's just like, oh, somebody's got to keep an eye on, you know, pies in the oven or whatever. There's always an added level of stress. It is why we don't visit my family at holidays anymore. I don't have as much control over Trish's family. My family, we don't visit them on the holidays because I'm like, there's the stress of us visiting, which is disrupting your life, disrupting our life. And also there's the certain level of like, we only see each other every once in a while, so we should make this count. And if we're also going to factor in, also, we're going to have a lovely Christmas. Too much shit.
Well, my family, I mean, we see each other like eight, nine, 10 times a year anyway. And also we've never put emphasis on a given getting together at a given time and place. So, you know, my family doesn't feel that much stress about it. I don't think that the thing you're talking about is, I wouldn't call it human nature, and I wouldn't label it as tribalist either, because I don't think that's a feature of tribes to be so insular and judgy about everybody else. I do think, though, it's a feature of, I mean, I think in empire scale societies, like just about everybody has now, and then we have it too, I think factionalism
is... No, I've got it. I've got it.
Factionalism is a thing that... empire scale hierarchies encourage, you know, the people at the top of the hierarchy want everyone lower down to be fighting with each other over any trivial thing that they can come up with. So I think that there's a lot of social pressure, cultural pressure for people to imagine that there are sides to things, to pick a side to things. In fact, so I would argue that it's not human nature or tribal. It's colonialist and imperial. That's what it is. It's in a colonialist and or imperial setting where this factionalism emerges, not in a personal or tribal one.
I'm cool with that. Ezzy disagrees, but you don't speak English. That's her problem.
But, you know, I find essentialism to be problematic. You know, I mean, I've always thought that, where a person seems to think that things or times or places are imbued with some essential thing. And anyone who doesn't believe that that essentialist, whatever is in, has imbued that thing is wrong or, well, and this happened, in my life, as I've interacted with different Christian groups, you know, and, you know, some Christian groups that don't celebrate Christmas because it's pagan, right? And because
Jesus is most likely never born anywhere near then.
Well, that too, but it's like, because its origin is not Christian, it's imbued with this, you know, non-Christian or maybe even satanic essence. So anyone who celebrates it is tainted by that or something. It's like, that's just ridiculous. I mean, as you and I have talked about before, and I think this is something that you and I agree on, broadly speaking, is that meaning isn't something that's out there. Meaning is what we give to things. You know, so there's no essence.
You once told me you thought my life philosophy was that things only have significance that we personally give them.
Well, that's what I thought it was, yeah.
And I didn't know that. You were 100% right.
Yeah.
And I have used that to explain my life philosophy many times since, and I've used that in my own introspection. But I had never articulated like that. And you said that, and I'm like, holy shit, yeah, no, that's me. That's
well, what I to believe. Me, the reason I said that was, to me, it was one of the things, you know. You and I have a very strong and enduring friendship. And part of it is because there are so many things that we connect on. Stop it. That we connect so deeply on. And that, to me, was one of those things. Because every time we talked about meaning or things associated with it, it seemed that the assumption was that it wasn't something that's out there. You know, Christmas isn't pagan or even Christian. It is, you know, whatever you, I mean, there are lots of people who celebrate Christmas. They even call it Christmas. They say Merry Christmas to each other, but they're totally atheists. You know, it's just a holiday to them. It's a secular holiday they celebrate. It doesn't have any Christian meaning at all. And that's what it is to them. And that's fine.
There's a bit in that James Acaster special I watched where he's talking about people getting mad saying you can't say Merry Christmas anymore. And he's like, you can, you're always good. He's like, what happened was a few decades ago, we were all going around saying Merry Christmas. And one day a particular person was like, you know, there's a lot of people that celebrate stuff around there that's not necessarily Christmas. So why don't we switch to saying Happy Holidays? And instantly, everyone of every religion in the world collectively said, nah, that's stupid. And the person who suggested it was like, you know what? You're right. Sorry. Forget I said anything. And then we went back to saying Merry Christmas. And that's it. So you've always been able to say it and you can continue to say it. Shut up about it.
Well, recently I've heard, as always happens, every year this happens. I hear things from various quarters about how, well, you shouldn't say Happy Holidays because that's a communist plot to get people to be, it's like, come on, really? People say Merry
Christmas. I thought it was a communist plot. I would say Happy Holidays as the first and last thing in every conversation I started year round, well, just to see how that fucking played out.
I say Happy Holidays to people because I don't know if they celebrate Christmas. I don't, you know, it, but most people celebrate some holiday, and even the people who the holiday they're celebrating is Christmas, they're not celebrating it like I used to celebrate Christmas, right? When I say Merry Christmas to somebody,
guns and fire and
no. When I say Merry Christmas to somebody, I subjectively, because of how I was raised and it's just sort of hardwired into my brain, I think I'm talking to a Christian when I say that. And, I mean, I know that that's not necessarily the case. I know people who aren't Christians celebrate Christmas. I know that. But to me, in my brain and in my subjective experience and feeling, I'm saying that to another Christian. So the reason I say Happy Holidays is because I don't know if that person's Christian. I don't think I'm going to insult them by saying Merry Christmas. I understand that I could say Merry Christmas. It'd be perfectly fine. But there's just something in me that whenever I say that to someone, I feel like it's something I am saying to another Christian. And if I don't know they're Christian, then I'll automatically say Happy Holidays instead. So that's what it's like for me. And it just seems
complicated.
Well, as is everything with me, but here's my point. That's weird and it's personal and it's subjective and all that stuff. But I think for everybody, it's a subjective, personal matter of opinion. It's ridiculous to suggest that there's only one proper way to say it and every other way is wrong. I can't believe people even think that way. I mean, we live in a huge society, 350 million people. Why should we think that even a significant number of those people agree completely perfectly on any one thing?
Odd Glass's illustration of it was, you see people going around all the time saying, hi, Glenn. And they say it to everybody. Hi, Glenn. Hey, Glenn. Hi, Glenn. And finally, somebody pulled them aside and said, you know, not everybody's named Glenn. So maybe you could just say hi, and then that would work for everybody. And then that person was like, God damn it, nowadays I can't say hi, Glenn anymore. Wow. Nowadays we can't say hi, Glenn. You can say hi, Glenn, when you're talking to fucking Glenn. I like to mix it up because also I don't give a shit. So my most common is I'll just say I don't initiate it, and I say back whatever the other person said.
Oh, yeah.
Also, for the very short time period where Virgin Mobile thought it could break into the oligarchy that is cell service in this country, they had commercials where they wished everyone a Merry Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa. I enjoyed that. So for a while, I wished everybody a Merry Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa. And I'm considering just switching and saying Merry everything. It covers everything, you know, everything.
Well, and it's also not just an issue of you know, covering things like Hanukkah, for example. I mean, there's Christmas, but there's also New Year's. Some people are saying, you know, happy holidays, you know, in November before Thanksgiving happens. So it's like, there's lots of things that are celebrated, you know, in that period of time. And so you're just covering it all, really. It's not even, to me, when I say it, I don't even think I'm being politically correct or anything. I'm just saying, oh, you know, you might not celebrate that particular holiday, which is only one holiday and that's another thing that people say is, no, everybody knows that Christmas is the only real holiday celebrated around here. Hanukkah's not that important and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm sorry, but people do celebrate other holidays, or they do celebrate Christmas, but they don't celebrate it the way you celebrate it. So I just don't even see.
Yeah. When I say any of them, what I'm really saying is generic well wishing. I don't really give a fuck.
Right. Right.
So I say whatever comes to mind at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Like, polite, sympathetic shit, whatever. Bye.
Well, I heard this just a couple days ago. I saw a video is what it was. It was a video, and it kind of portrayed people who say happy hot. Like there was, it made it look like there was like a group of people. I don't know what group this supposedly was, but that is like offended by someone saying Merry Christmas. I have never, ever seen anyone or heard anyone criticized for saying Merry Christmas to someone ever. I don't know who this roving band of
this is the point James Acaster was making.
It's like, who are these people that you think are like being offended by this?
Probably some teenagers.
Roving like, teenagers.
No, but I'm like, you know, they're teenagers. They're on their second week of trying to be vegan. They're just set to be offended by anything that might, you know.
I guess.
Looking for shit to rebel against. But yeah, no, I don't think it happens either. No, this is the dominant culture likes to affect being persecuted.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's very true.
You're going to get strung up if you say Merry Christmas. You're getting totally fucked over if you're white. Things are no good for the men anymore. You can't even admit that you're Christian in public without somebody trying to fight you. I mean, all the stuff.
Yeah, all the stuff.
It's really hard on the rich.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, but this, but, you know, like I was saying, the essentialism problem I see in lots of places. I mean, I hear the essentialist argument lots of times, like, well, this means this, and this is all it means, and it was given this meaning from this external thing, and now that's the only meaning it has. It's like, that's not how meaning works. It's not how human beings work. People can have different opinions about things. There's fact and opinion, and we can all have different opinions, and we can all be okay with each other having different opinions. But there's a lot of times where someone has a particular argument, and I'm interested in hearing people's arguments about anything. And what their argument consists mostly of is trying to persuade me that this word or this thing or this time or this place or this person has this essence that is purely good or purely evil. There's almost no in between. Mm-mm. And so therefore I have to love it or hate it. And I just think I just can't.
You can't have in between. The Cosby Show, the TV show, is absolutely horrible and terrible and shouldn't exist and no one should watch it because of the shit that Bill Cosby did.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby's comedy wasn't funny anymore because of the shit that Bill Cosby did. Two things can be true. Don't get me wrong. There's a concern if he's getting paid for like every time I watch an episode of the Cosby Show. And also on a personal level, it's been a long time since I can listen to a Cosby comedy routine without thinking about the shit he did. So it hasn't been funny for me. I don't say it's not funny.
Or that nobody else can listen to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do tend to get pissed when people try and give me the rationale why it's okay. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, right.
Those are almost always wrong. I'm like, that argument is bullshit. And if we're going in that direction, then you should be ashamed of yourself for listening to that. If you're just like, no, I know he's horrible and I don't want to help him out, but I still find this stuff amusing. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. And I'm envious. It's gotten shit now, but I'm still envious of the people who decided that they could keep laughing at Louis C.K. I can't seem to do that anymore.
Mm.
It's too bad because he was an amazing comic.
Mm. Yeah.
And actually, I think I could have gotten there, but he's been kind of shitty and is doubling down since all that. That he's pretty dead to me, unfortunately.
Mm.
And that's not me being like, he deserves to. No, that's me being like, no, I'm not happy now. And somebody else recently like did something. It was a small thing. I know what it is. And here's the deal. I can't even remember what it is now. The actor who plays Cara Dune on The Mandalorian said some bullshit on Twitter. And I can't remember, because I lose track because I don't really, but it was.
Isn't that Katie Sackhoff?
No. That's Bo-Katan. This is a regular
actor
who shows up many times named Cara Dune.
Right.
And, she said, I can't remember, she said something either anti-vax or anti-COVID safety or anti-trans. I don't know. It was probably one of those three. Those are the ones that I hear about most. I don't even remember what it is. It was one time she said something shitty. Like, it's still stuck in my head. So, like, I don't like the character very much anymore. And I feel like I probably really would love the character. This is not me saying they're a bad actor or that character was poorly written. Or you should boycott Mandalorian. This is me saying, it's kind of ruined it for me. And it's all my problem. It's, you know. So, people love it. It has to be all good or all bad. All the time.
And that's
the thing is, people always say, nobody always or nevers. But then they don't stick that.
Well, I think one of the... my experience, and this is just my experience, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but, you know, I I'm of the opinion that meaning is something we make. There's not something out in the cosmos. And also, to me, the fact that that's true doesn't cheapen it or make it worse. Because see, that's one of the reasons people give. Or if they were to challenge me with that idea, like, well, no, that can't, it can't just be what we make, or it doesn't have any value, though, they say, or they think it's like, I feel like the exact opposite.
Funny, because that's another word for meaning.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the exact opposite. I feel like the fact that we make it is great. I mean, you know, it makes it so much more, actually, to me, than to think that it's this thing that's out there that whether we exist or not, it's not going to matter, or how we participate in the process doesn't matter. I think the fact that we're building it together corporately and all that's this stuff, I think that's beautiful. I think that's amazing. It's
the same argument with the monomyth. People want to believe there is a higher power and a higher purpose to the universe because that means they matter. And if it's all just random chance, they don't matter. Whereas I'm like, no. And I used to feel that way. Now I'm like, actually, the fact that randomly this shit happened is pretty fucking amazing.
Well, right. And
it also empowers you to do exactly what you want with your life.
That's exactly right. And I one of the things I say in my first that I say, it's some, one of the thing points that's made in my first novel is that because this is related, you know, the whole thing about how we're not the center of the solar system, we're not the center of the universe, and how historically you can see when people become aware of these things scientifically, like the sun's in the middle of the solar system and everything, that's fought against and pushed against because they don't want to think that humanity is less important than it is. But to me and to many other people, the more of a speck on a speck on a speck we are as a species or whatever, the more amazing it seems, the more precious humanity seems.
It comes with a whole bunch of responsibility.
Yeah.
Because if you give yourself, you give things meaning yourself, you are responsible for the meaning you have given them.
That's right. Now,
and it essentially throws right and wrong out the window because you have to define right and wrong for yourself.
That's exactly right. Now,
there's a huge number of people who genuinely do good things because they believe God wants them to, and they will be punished if they don't. And they are of the belief that if you don't believe in God, there is no reason why you would be good people.
That's right.
Just fuck everything over. And to be fair, there are people like that. There are people who don't believe in God and still just fuck everything over.
Yeah, I've met people because I wasn't raised to believe in hell or in eternal punishment when you die.
I wasn't raised to believe in South Dakota, but I overcame it over time.
I wasn't raised to believe in those things. So as an adult, when I would meet people who did believe those things and I would explain to them, first of all, I wasn't raised to believe that. But second of all, explained to me how this didn't seem to be a biblical idea, the idea of eternal punishment or whatever. Because there's lots of biblical, I mean, there are biblical scholars, atheistic biblical scholars, who will tell you, no, the idea of an eternal fire and brimstone and hell or whatever is not a biblical idea. And I would tell them this, and they would say, that can't be true, because why would anyone be good if there wasn't a hell? And this always floored me, because I was also raised to believe that the reason you do the right thing is because it's the right thing. I mean, that's the only reason you do it, should do it. If you were only being good because you were afraid of punishment, you're not really being good. You know what I mean? You're sort of faking it. And so that always floored me when people would say things like that. But see,
I just do the right thing when I do because it feels better to me.
Here's the thing, though, about these ideas that we're talking about. These are the problems, though, with what we're talking about, how meaning is something we assign, how it's actually makes it more precious and more beautiful when we're not the center of the universe. I don't think anybody would have a problem with these points that we're making in regard to these things. I think they'd probably even agree with them. What I think the reason people still want to cling to the idea of an objective meaning and still want to cling to the idea of some kind of importance and essence, I don't think the reason they do that is because they would disagree with any of the rest of the stuff we're saying. I think the reason they cling to them is because it's a power thing, right? If meaning is a proven, if it's a matter of fact and not opinion, right, then you can tell people what to think. You can tell people what to do. And so when people, when I've met people who believe in God, but they constantly want to argue that God is a fact and not a matter of faith. God is not an opinion. God's a fact. And I've often wondered why they do that, because it seems so unnecessary. It's like, you can just think God is your opinion, your subjective experience, and that's just fine. I mean, why does everybody else have to believe it? Well, I don't think they do think everybody else has to believe it, but they want people to do certain things, right? They want to control a person's behavior. And they've made up their minds that they're going to have to argue that God is a fact, that everybody who is smart believes in God and only stupid people don't, right? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, this is a delusion. God is not a fact. God is an opinion. But it's not just religious people who do this with God. It's lots of people do this with whatever their opinion is. They insist that it's a fact.
You want external authority.
Yes.
Whereas I freely admit everything I have in my brain is an opinion, and I still tell people what to do.
Well, fair enough.
Because why not?
But I find that right now in the political climate, in the political conversation, you find people on the right and the left taking things that are matters of opinion, but insisting that they're fact, and everybody that doesn't think it's a fact is evil or something. Mm. And it's like, man, why, you know, we can't have conversations about things if we're trying, people aren't doing it completely accidentally. They want to control one another, and they can't do it because all the things they're talking about are a matter of opinion. So to justify their bullying of other people, they have to insist that it's not an opinion, yes, it's a fact. And so that means they can bully this person.
it's so demonstrable as an opinion, because especially in a political arena, both sides of an argument will accuse the other of the same thing. Like, both Republicans and Democrats would say that the other party hates the poor right. wants and doesn't want to help them. They do, with the exact opposite things. Love this. When Brexit was at its height of making no fucking sense, Mock the Week had a thing where he had a list, and he's like, here are bad things that will happen. You have to tell me which side of the argument said that would happen if their opponent succeeded. But you have to tell me if this is the Leave campaign saying if we stay, this will happen, or if this is the Remain campaign saying if we leave, this will happen.
Right.
It was impossible to gauge. And there were a few of them where the answer was both, including one that said, we'll have a lot fewer good curry restaurants. Both sides had said that. And I can't even think really of why one side. I mean, I have a slight, like, facile argument for one side, but not really. Like, and both sides said it. Yeah, I don't. It was all like, oh, housing prices. Oh, also, I think somebody said housing prices will go up, and one side said housing prices will go down. And so they seem to agree, except both sides thought whatever their one was the good one. Because there is an argument that housing prices going up is both good and bad, because it increases the value of your home and it's harder to buy one.
Right, right.
You know, like an opinion. Or like something that has a good side and a bad side.
Yeah.
Whereas I believe what I believe, and I know that it's all made up in my head, and I still just try and force it on everyone else. But at least I'm honest about the fact that I don't know if it's right. I just want you to do it. So
this is a perfectly appropriate conversation to have around the holidays, because
this is what Christmas is about.
Yeah.
Always has been since the beginning.
The reason for the season
is taking down people who have far too locked in values. I don't know.
Well, it's not about a commitment to an idea. It's about insisting that everybody else
has
to agree with you or something. Yes. I don't know. But I mean, I understand why people do it, because in the world we live in, and in any empire scale system, this is going to be true. You don't feel like you're in control of your own life. So you're going to tend to want to take control of whatever you can, even if you're being irrational and unreasonable about it. So, you know, it's hard to.
And by the same token, not everybody has to believe that there aren't specific right answers to these things. That's we true. Need to accept that, which is why, if I'm honest, it's still something I work on.
Yeah.
Because I'm really intolerant of people with really intolerant positions.
Yeah.
And, you know, Karl Popper had a great argument about we must tolerate everything except intolerance. And I think I kind of buy into that. But that has to do largely with policy and with actions. People should be allowed to have any thoughts and beliefs they want, even if I think they're terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is something that I struggle with. Mostly when I'm podcasting with you. This has helped me. These almost 10 years have really helped me come to terms with tolerating people who have terrible opinions. So I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And it's been very helpful, and it continues to be.
I work very hard on my terrible opinions. I work very hard on them.
Sometimes I refer to William as my straw man. I'm just fighting against him every day, and I know it doesn't fucking matter in the slightest. It helps work my tolerance muscles, as it were.
Straw man, yep. If I only had a brain.
Also that. I mean, that's just a bonus. Like, I didn't even... we were 4 years in before I realized how that synced. It was great. like listening to Pink Floyd The Wall, just like, oh yeah, no, also gut brain. Pretty good.
That's great.
Are you doing a thing for Christmas?
I just communicated with my family today, to people listening, this is yesterday, that we don't think that it's a good idea to go back for Christmas, so we'll just be here. We'll probably watch Wonder Woman on our televisions.
It is super your family to come to this decision on the 23rd of December.
Well, that's true, but it's mostly it's mostly my decision. I mean, I don't know, actually. Some of them might be getting together themselves. I don't know.
Secretly in a warehouse.
My sister who is a healthcare worker is getting vaccinated tomorrow.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I don't know what the protocols are there. I mean, I would think that after getting vaccinated, they would want you to avoid, I don't know. Should people quarantine for a while after vaccination or not?
I don't know. I mean, there, then also it requires two, and yeah, I have no
that's
idea.
Right. So she won't be fully vaccinated.
That doesn't necessarily mean she's not covered. It just may mean that she's only covered temporarily unless she gets the follow-up.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if that means like, oh, you're only kind of vaccinated, or if it means you're vaccinated, it's going to fade unless we do this other, this second. I have no idea.
Well, see, as I've often said, my father is in a high-risk category. And I think
old.
Well, but also heart problems and things like that. So
old heart.
So his his wife had a doctor's appointment recently. Maybe I mentioned this already. And the doctor asked her, dad didn't go in to the appointment with her. He just stayed out in the car or whatever. And so the doctor asked her where her husband was. She said, well, he's waiting out in the car. And he said, well, that's good, because he needs to be especially careful, because if he gets this, he's dead. Basically, the doctor just told her that. And it freaked her out, which, I mean, I don't know why, because we pretty much all know that. And
I think that's true for my in-laws, and I don't think they're necessarily aware. They're aware it could kill them. I don't think they're aware that, like, statistically it probably will.
Yeah, I mean, but this doctor said basically in no uncertain terms that dad's only option for surviving the pandemic is to not get sick.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably true. I mean, we all believe that. That's why we've not gone home. You know, we have gone home earlier in the year. We did, when it looked like the pandemic was really easing off, but our second wave was terrible. I mean, we were having days where, you know, in the first wave, I think there was one day where we had like 20 deaths, sadly, but there was like only one day like that. And all the other days we did have, you know, four or five or whatever, which is bad enough, terrible enough, but it was nothing like people predicted we would get. And so that, and when the curve went down, and before November, everything was kind of mild. I think people thought, okay, this is okay. We'll be all right. I went home a couple times and nobody got sick and everything was fine. But then in November, we had 34 deaths some days. I mean, it's like, it made the first wave. If you go to the Iowa website to look at the stats, the first wave is like a little bump in March or something compared to this huge mountain that was in November. It's terrible, terrible.
People learned where Iowa is in the country because they learned you do not want to go there right now.
Yeah, it's awful.
Like, people who could not have, who would have mixed up Ohio and Iowa and Idaho, they know Iowa now, because that's where shit went bad.
It went really bad. And so now the curve
almost
is on
like
the way.
We have a dumb as shit governor. Anyway,
the curve is going down and the numbers are better than they were a month ago, but they're still about the same as they were like on November 1st, which is not good. And we didn't have a post Thanksgiving bump, but that's mostly because people stayed home. If we don't want to get a post Christmas bump, well, we better stay home again. So that was the decision that we made. And I'm pretty sure the rest of my family is going to do that too. And I think part of it is because I think dad's wife is freshly concerned about dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they'll probably stay home too.
I think I've told you about our plan, right?
Well, I mean, you're
pizza.
Yeah. Pizza, right? Detroit pizza.
Detroit style pizza. Yep. We got the pan. It's already. Yeah. And we are not going home. And my mother-in-law didn't take that real well. But it's better now, but they're coming on Christmas Eve day to drop off presents at the doorstep. They didn't mail them. They said it was too heavy. And we're like, it's going to be really cold. And it's like a 2 to 3 hour drive each way. You don't need to do that. They want to do that. And they're like, we understand. We'll just knock on the door and then wave from the car. So now I'm a big damn hero because I'm like, well, we can at least like bundle up and go outside and talk to you from like 20 feet away for a good few distance. Minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, we don't just have to wave and then you drive 3 hours back. So,
oh, well, that'll be kind of nice though to see.
Yeah.
Revisit, sure.
Okay. Huh. Otherwise, yeah, never. I mean, I'm sure we'll watch Wonder Woman. Why the hell would you not?
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We watched Wonder Woman, the first one, last night. And it's been a while since we saw it. And it's like, we're like, man, this is a good movie. I mean, we love it.
Yeah.
We just think it's so good. And it was really fun to watch.
I don't think the second one's going to be as good.
I've heard that. I guess
both because of reviews and because this is how these things work.
Yeah.
Either the first one's not great and they somehow pull it out with the second one, or the second one's worse than the first one.
So did you hear Patty Jenkins is going to direct a Star Wars movie, Rogue Squadron?
Did hear about that. I have a hard time giving a shit.
Well, I'm excited. Oh my God.
This season of Mandalorian, we're finally done with it. And it annoyed the shit out of me.
A lot of people said that.
And then for fun, this has been bugging me for mostly in the context of these mythical Jedi. Like, how long has it fucking been? So I went and looked at the Star Wars timeline on Wikipedia. And let me just say right there, that makes me rethink the idea that we all give individual meaning to what we want to give. Because that just seems wrong on so many levels. Fun fact, though. A couple of fun facts for you. Baby Yoda and Anakin, roughly the same age. Arguably born in the same year. Also, Boba Fett, son of Jango Fett, but he actually is just another clone that they didn't do any modifications to so that he could raise him. So he's like a digipet. Jango Fett,
right,
which is weird. And some of the timelines aren't as strange, but it's been 9 years since the first Death Star blew up. So why have we only just barely heard of what Jedi are? They literally ran everything for thousands of years.
Yeah, I know.
Then a bunch of them died, and then we had I shit you not, 20-year break in which the Empire ran things. And then we had some really big wars involving Jedi and, you know, bad boy Jedi. Now it's just this myth. Nobody knows what the fuck it is. Come the fuck on.
Meanwhile, all of the talk of new Star Wars shows is making there be very serious conversations in this house about getting Disney Plus.
I think Disney Plus is worth it, especially at this point, because there's a shit ton of new Star Wars shows, also a shit ton of new Marvel shows, some of which look really cool, some of which don't, but some of which look really cool. I think there's going to be an Ironheart show. WandaVision looks insane, but I am curious what's happened. The Loki show looks really cool. I mean, Winter Soldier and Falcon, it looks like they're going to just drive around in a pickup and solve crimes in small towns. I don't know. But, you know, whatever.
No, but I want to see an Obi-Wan
Disney
show.
Plus is doing a lot of shit now. Yeah, I think it is valuable at this point.
I want to see an Obi-Wan show. I want to see an Ahsoka show. I want to see, I do want to see The Mandalorian. I want to see Boba Fett show. I want to see all that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
a fair bit of good movies, and of course all the Star Wars, all the other Star Wars.
Yeah,
you want to rewatch Clone Wars, you want to rewatch Rebels, it's all there. So if you like Star Wars, there's a lot of Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that. All right, let's real quick do a question or else people will get mad.
Okay.
I don't know who these people are, but this question is upside down.
There you go.
That's better. By the way, how's my lighting today? I experimented with turning off one of the lights. Is it better?
I think it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was a little washed out before. I think this is better.
Yeah. I think that's very good.
Let's do that. All right. This is from Dave of Id.
Oh.
It's a very quippy one here. Which best describes your usual perspective on life these days? Shaken or stirred? All right. Before we get into this, I just want to say, I mean, I haven't tested this theory, and maybe I should. Maybe somebody should help out with this. I don't know. I refuse to believe that unless you're like that level of cocktail expert that you're an insane person, that martini that was shaken and a martini that was stirred taste any different. I believe there are cocktails for whom that is true. But when two clear liquors of similar viscosity for the entirety of the recipe, I refuse to believe that stirring it or shaking it up makes it taste different. So, fuck off. My outlook's always been shaken, because stirring is a fairly singular motion, and that's boring as hell. I mean, I like the swirly, but you know, sometimes you want to start with the shaken. Who the fuck knows? I try and live my life as chaotically as I can. What I have found is I have a very low tolerance for it, so I don't live my life that chaotically. I'm still a, you know, mid-American, affluent white guy, so can't be too chaotic.
Yeah, my observation is that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but my observation is that
I always do.
You, that what you want is to be just what you have to be more chaotic than the people around you, and that's fine.
I think so. I mean, when I was younger, I bragged about being an agent of chaos, and that was a thing. And here's what it actually is. I don't like order for order's sake, which is very much the theme of this episode so far.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the title is going to be My Straw Man. But, I mean, the theme has been this idea that, you know, meaning because you think it's the true one is bullshit. And it's the same thing with order. If we have an order, if we have a process, and we have it just because, well, we have to have order. No, pick that shit up.
Right.
And I am an agent of chaos in that I feel there is too much arbitrary order, and I like to poke holes at it.
Yes. Yeah.
Otherwise, no, I like things calm. The older I get, the more I am taking pleasure in certain rituals, and they're not spiritual rituals. Like, I go to bed last basically every night, and there's a ritual. I tuck Trish into bed, and there's a ritual for that. When I go to bed, now that the house is clean, there are certain things. Like, I turn on a lot more lights in here, and so I have a whole thing where I go around and I turn off the lights, and I go in, and you've seen it before. I have Gatorade I buy every week, and when I finish the Gatorade, I use it for iced tea. And at the end of the night, I take the empty ones and I refill them, and I put in tea bags and I put them in the fridge and all that. And I have this whole process, and I go the bathroom and I floss and I've started flossing again. I enjoy the ritual of it. I don't think Jesus is involved. It's not that kind of ritual, and I certainly don't think everybody else did. But I like the familiarity of the process.
Yeah, I think one of the greatest flaws in modern life is when people take the means to an end, and then the means become the end in and of itself. Yeah. They forget the whole reason they were doing a thing, and that corrupts that whole process, and now it's worthless. You have to be willing to change things too, you know, as different, whatever the end is you're looking for, you've got, you know, the means have to serve that end. And when they no longer do that, you've got to get rid of them. You've got to.
Or else your tradition, if your order feels like a burden and has no discernible value outside of that,
yeah,
you should probably change it.
Yeah. Shake it up, as you would say. It up.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think you're getting out of answering this. This is a hypothetical and you only have two choices. Pick one, motherfucker. Are you stirred? Is your outlook shaken or stirred? Is stirred. It now? Interesting.
And the reason is because I feel like, as you pointed out, I feel like they both achieve the same thing ultimately.
Well, in a martini, that was a shot at James Bond.
Well,
are going to be different.
I'm extending the metaphor. I think they both achieve this.
They both mix things.
Well, and they also both. There's going to come a point where they both mix them to a degree where you're not going to be able to tell the difference between whether they're shaken or stirred. The reason I usually go with stirred is because, and not always, but usually, is because I feel like it's the gentler way to get to the same place. And and people, I find in my life when I'm trying to get to a certain place myself, or with you, of course, usually with other people, where none of us are an island, that, you know, it's better to sort of ease them into it than to just, you know, push them. You know what I mean? Like, instead of just shaking things up, stir things up, because people are going to be more willing to go along with that ride than just if you dump it on them, you know.
I see that argument. And if I cared about other people, I might feel similar.
Well, in fact, I think this is a very good
You all are just my Lego pieces.
I think I think this is a good distinction between you and me, is, you know, if given a situation where we're trying to affect a certain change, you know, you might.
Well, our processes are identical, except yours is nice.
Well, I try to make it as painless for people as possible.
I decidedly don't give a shit. I'm comfortable with that. I am comfortable with that as our answer here.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if people predicted that's how we both answer.
See, when I asked the question, I knew my answer already, because obviously I had it to hand very quick. It's not like I've seen the question before. Of course not. But I knew in my head. So I would have guessed yours was stirred. After the conversation we had about mine, I kind of thought yours might also be shaken.
Well,
your argument makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to shake things up, but I don't want people to be uncomfortable or offended or harmed by it. You know, I do care about those things. So if I can get to the same place by stirring, you know, by being gentler, then that's what I'll do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although
I want to fuck some shit up.
If I do have to say, if push comes to shove and shaking is the only option, I will do that rather than nothing. I'm not going to
rather than let it settle in layers.
Not doing anything is not an option. If the situation says, okay, William, you're not going to be able to stir this. You're either going to shake it or nothing. Well, nothing's not an option. So I'll shake it. But I'd rather not. I'd rather stir, right? Because I think
this is like the lens of some action hero that, we got to get in there. Well, we're not going to be able to stir it. We're going to have to shake it.
Yes, we're going to have to shake it. But nothing is not an option.
I hate when we have to shake it.
Yeah. I wish we could stir, but
yes,
it's time to shake.
Got to get done. I want cocktail shaker. Because I think they're cool and I like the idea. You dump shit in there and then you do this.
Yeah.
And then it's a cocktail. Yeah. I don't have trouble. Like, I could get one. I'm confident I could go on Amazon and spend negligible dollars and get a decent one. The problem is I know I would use it for like a day and then never again. Because while cocktail shakers are cool, 99.9999% of my beverages won't benefit from it at all. I don't drink alcohol much. B, I don't drink things with a lot of components. So maybe eventually I'll get one, and like for New Year's Eve, that'll be a thing or whatever. But I find the concept really cool. I just know it would have like no use in my life.
Yeah.
I've always thought cocktail shakers were kind of awesome. Especially like old school things where like you're muddling herbs in the bottom.
Mm.
I'm like, that's disgusting. I don't want to eat plants while I'm drinking. You don't, because you put them in there and you shake it and then it strains out. It's beautiful.
Here's an interesting thing I learned just recently that's Christmassy. So the spices
like the most painful segue ever.
The spices you put in mulled things like mulled wine or mulled apple cider.
The are spices, named after Martin Mull. Yeah, I knew that long.
The
time
spices
ago.
You put in a pumpkin pie, and the spices you put in a gingerbread man or whatever are all pretty much the same.
Cinnamon and nutmeg.
Cinnamon,
little clove.
Cinnamon, nutmeg, clove, and not many people put ginger in mull, but you can. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
But ginger will go in the pie and also the gingerbread. And also, some people say allspice, but I allspice basically just tastes like cinnamon, nutmeg, and
clove,
whatever, and clove together.
Yeah.
So it's like, so you could take the, if now some of the spices are in different different concentrations for each of those things, but you could conceivably make a concoction of those spices and just put them in your pumpkin pie, put them in your gingerbread, whatever, put them in your apple cider, and it would be all the same. It's like, yes, a universal.
And it's
Christmas.
Why there isn't an influx of pumpkin flavored things in this season, or even pumpkin pie flavored things. It is pumpkin spice.
Right.
It has fuck all to do with pumpkin.
Right.
And you like can I said, put it in everything. I had pumpkin spice coffee creamer for a while recently. That's only available around this time of year. And it was tasty. It tastes like pumpkin.
And here's another thing. Each one of those spices has a significantly high amount, especially cloves, a significantly high amount of a chemical called eugenols. And I don't know what the significance of that is.
God damn it. That is not a fun fact. That is just sort of a frustrating fact.
Oh, well, eugenols are, they are...
feel like you're making up what you're about to say.
No.
100% pulling this out.
No, I'm not. They're something they have. Well, first of all, it's interesting to me that they all have this. So it's like this.
I mean, it's the first part of something interesting.
No, but
by itself, it's not.
They're potentially toxic. Anything with this chemical in it.
Sweet.
And but medicinally, they have the effect is. I think antiseptic and also
hallucinogen.
No, like when you put someone to sleep, like for surgery, what's that called?
Anesthetic. Lullaby. What?
So I wonder if they make you feel sleepy or something when you like.
I would not at all be surprised if it has its roots, because a lot of spicing things has to do with antibacterial and antiseptic properties make food storage last longer. So I would not be surprised if we seasoned up winter shit so it would last longer. I'm making this up. I don't know if there's any basis to it, but it would make sense to me.
But do you think they also make you feel cozy and comfortable because of that? Sleepy, whatever, maybe.
That I think is just because God's giving you a little hug. So if you'd like to know the answer to this, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, because within hours of this getting posted, William's going to have researched it and tell us. And then after that, Jazz will have more information. And she will add. Probably. And also, a cousin who was named Eugenol.
Actually, Eugenol is named after some guy named Eugene.
Who is Jazz's cousin. And once ate a tiger with his bare hand. Because, like, Jazz already has like four cousins who did that, and it was a family gathering, the tiger eating. Like,
that was, oh man, that's great.
Like, at some point, Jazz could just say, like, Zorro's actually based off of my great uncle. And I'd be like, yeah.
I mean, that tracks. Yep.
Exactly. That fits at this point. I mean,
oh man, that's good.
Like, if there are superheroes out there, they're in Jazz's family line somewhere.
That's right.
Insane.
That is correct.
So go to the blog and get all the details on this one. And then I hope everybody has a happy Christmas, even if you're not really doing anything for it, which I think is the happiest version, like me. Next week we'll come back and it'll almost be New Year's, which will be even less of an event this year.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll be awake that long, but I'm fine with it. Remember, you just do all this shit twice as hard when you finally can get back together with people.
Yep.
And so Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, everythingness. I don't care.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.